Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather here on this third Sunday in Advent to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to take a moment to remind everyone that we will be having a Christmas Eve service that will be on Christmas Eve night, of course, at 7 p.m. So please come for that time of fellowship as we prepare for the coming of Christ into the world. We will be lighting the Christ candle at that time. So again, that's going to be at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Other things going on at Alney Church, please take the time to read your bulletin carefully, as well as go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Zephaniah. It is going to be found on page 816 of your pew Bibles. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of Zephaniah, beginning at verse 14 and reading through verse 20. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cast out your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear evil no more. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home. At that time when I gather together, yea, I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. This morning, as you saw, we lit the joy candle. People often ask me if it matters which candle is lit during the Sundays of Advent, and the answer is yes, it does. On the third Sunday of Advent, we always light the mauve or pink-colored candle, which is the joy candle, candle of joy. The joy candle is lighter than the other three candles because we are acknowledging that even though the world is still in darkness, that the darkness is abating. Hope and good news is on the horizon, and so on this Sunday, we are called to have joy. We are called to rejoice. Maybe that's easier said than done. We know we live in a world where people sometimes find it difficult to rejoice, find it difficult to have joy. One of my childhood friend's brother died a week before last. Wasn't a surprise. We knew it was coming. But still, the fact that it happens during this season makes it terribly difficult. It's going to make it terribly difficult for their family, terribly difficult for all those who knew him, for his children, that this season, when we think about joy and festivities, that they will be embroiled in grief. Yesterday, I was at PPH, the Protestant Homes, for their monthly breakfast, and everyone was talking about one of the staff members who had just recently passed away. She was a woman in her 40s. On the staff there, well-liked. Everyone really liked her and loved her. But she passed away. And so even as they, in that community, gear up for Christmas celebration, there's that hole, and it speaks to their grief during this season. The Arthur Mitch album in his book, Tuesdays with Maury, tells of the day his former teacher and friend Maury Schwartz was told by the doctor that he had Lou Gehrig's disease. Outside, the sun was shining and people were going about their business. A woman ran to put money into the parking meter. Another carried groceries. Maury was stunned that all around him people were going about their normal routines, and he thought to himself, shouldn't the world stop? Don't they know what has happened to me? I think the season of Advent and Christmas is like that for many people. On the one hand, this is a season of joy. It's a season of celebration. It's a season of parties and singing and decorations and lights. It's about people going to and fro, shopping for presents, filled with all kinds of holiday cheer. But for other people, this is one of the most difficult times of the year. It's not a season of joy, but a season of deep pain and grief, season of loss, made all the more acute by the joyfulness all around them. And it's in the midst of the partying and the singing and the festivities all around that they ask, don't people know what has happened to me? Don't they know what I'm going through? If you find yourself in that company this morning for whatever reason, you need to know that Christmas is especially for you. Christmas is for everyone who's walking in darkness. The joy that is evoked in this season is not the cheap, plastic, manufactured joy ginned up by those who are trying to sell us something. You know, there's all kinds of manufactured joy out there, cheap joy. Neither is it the hollowed joy that comes from an emaciated Christmas spirit that's more about nostalgia than anything else. No, the joy that is called forth in this season is the joy that comes from knowing that there is someone who knows what is happening to you. There is someone who knows what you are going through. There is someone who cares, someone who loves and cares about you intensely, and that someone is God. And that's the reason we are called to have joy in this season. The prophet Zephaniah is one of those minor prophets that few people have probably ever read, and it's understandable. It's not a very big book. It's kind of hard to find. It's nestled in between two other prophets, Haggai and Malachi. It's just a few pages in length. And most of it is about doom and gloom and darkness. Israelites trapped in darkness. And so the prophet goes on and on through most of the book about the darkness, about the judgment, about the difficulties that God's people are facing. But suddenly, in chapter 3, the prophet does a 180-degree turn, and he begins to talk about joy. Rejoice, he says, sing, exult, saying praises to God, rejoice. And you want to say, what's going on? How does the prophet make this turn so quickly? What's going on? And we know what's going on. What's going on is God. It's because of God that he now turns his attention to joy and rejoicing. It's about the God who comes to pierce whatever darkness that we might find ourselves in. And so the prophet says, rejoice. Even those of you who are in darkness, rejoice. Have joy. The Lord makes three promises through this prophet of doom, three promises to his people, to the people living in darkness. One promise is that he will come to be with them. He will make his presence with them. You know, often when people are going through a difficult moment, when they're going through difficult times in their lives, usually the best thing to offer them is presence. Sometimes we want to get there and we want to talk and we want to offer them all kinds of advice and we want to try to cheer them up. But what people often really need is presence. They need to know that people are present with them, that people are there for them. And God is reminding God's people, he's reminding all of us that in those moments when the darkness is closing in the moments when we are hurting, in the moments when we are frightened and scared, he wants us to know that God is with us, present with us. Of course, God became present with us on that first Christmas. That's what Christmas, the first Christmas, was all about. Jesus coming to be in our midst. God coming to be in our midst. But God's presence is not just about Jesus. It's also about God's presence with us even now. God's presence with us today. God's presence with us through God's Spirit. God is present with us, because his presence is in the midst of our hearts and his presence is in the midst of our community. That's why it's important that when you are going through some kind of suffering, when you're going through and experiencing grief and pain, sometimes what people want to do is separate themselves from the community. But it's important to be in the midst of the community. It's important to be present so that you can feel and discern the presence of God that is present in the community. And so God promises that God will be present. Secondly, God promises that he will renew the people in his love. The actual Greek says that he will plow them in his love. You know, when I think of plowed, being plowed, you think of being churned and cut and plowed. But the text says that God wants to plow us in his love. He wants us to know at those very moments when we might be depressed, in those very moments when we might feel alone, when we might feel isolated and cut off, he wants us to know how deeply he loves us and cares about each and every one of us. And so he makes a promise about his love for us. That would have been something that Zephaniah's community desperately needed to hear, because the prophet had been telling them how God was going to bring judgment on them, how God was going to judge them, how they were going to suffer because of their waywardness from the ways of God. But now the prophet says, never mind all of that. God says, never mind all of that. Yes, you've let me down. Yes, you've often turned your back on me. Yes, you've often gone worshiping the foreign gods. But let me show you and tell you how much I love you and can care for you. And so even as you are sitting in your darkness, God says, I want to plow you and renew you in love. And the third promise that the prophet makes, that the Lord makes through the prophet, is that God says, I will gather you all up. I will gather you all up, all of those who are hurting. I will gather all of you up in all of your heartbreak. I will gather you up and I will bring you home. I will take you home. And isn't that what we all want? We want to go home. We all have that sense of alienation, that sense of lostness, that sense of exiled, feeling exiled, that sense of being cut off from something essential to ourselves. And God says, I want to bring you home. I'm reminded of the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus tells in Luke's gospel, the young man who goes in a far country and finds life so difficult, and he has this yearning to go home, and he makes a beeline in that direction, and he sees his father waiting for him, waiting to take him home to where he knows he's loved, home where he knows he has a place. God says, I want to bring all of you home. Isn't it funny how much Christmas is about home? When we think of Christmas, we think of home. The merchandisers know how to exploit that sense of homelessness that we have. Most of it is about home, going back home, experiencing some nostalgic, idyllic understanding of home. When the prophet talks about coming home here, he means coming back to God. Coming back to the God for whom we've alienated ourselves because of our sinfulness. Coming back to God so that we can begin to truly live as the human beings that God has called us to be. God says, I want to bring you home. Christmas is about how God enters into the darkness of our world. It's not just about light, but it's also about darkness. About how God enters into the darkness of our world, the darkness of our pain and grief, the darkness of our suffering, and not only comes to be with us in the midst of it, but takes that pain and suffering upon himself. James Howe notes that Christmas has to do with that ache that is deep down inside of us. We sometimes, he says, get duped into thinking that God and suffering are polar opposites. If you are suffering, get away from there and run towards God. Or where God is, there is sweetness and light in the absence of pain. But he reminds us that the story from the real manger was that God embraced our lives at the very point of our pain and our rejection and our poverty. The first Christmas is not about how God comes to us when everything is going right. It's not about how God comes to us when we're celebrating. It's not how God comes to us when we're not going through any problems. It's not how God comes to us in the middle of the day. But Christmas begins at night. It's how God comes to us in the silence of the night that is closing in on us, when we need to be reminded that there's a light that can pierce the darkness. Fra Giovanni wrote, "The gloom of the world is but a shadow Behind it, yet within reach, is joy. There is radiance and glory in the darkness, could we but see. And to see, we have only to look. I beseech you, she says, to look. Just look. All of this is to say this morning, and I'll close with this, that if you are grieving, if you're feeling loss, if you're feeling alone, if you're experiencing pain, then this season is for you. It is God's commitment to you. It is God's way of letting you know how much God loves you, how much God cares, how much God wants to bring all of you home. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you again for this time, this Advent season, this season where we light candles to remind us of your commitment not to leave us in our darkness, but your commitment to save us and to liberate us and to help us to be the people that you have called us to be. And so we ask, Lord, that you continue to empower us through your Spirit so that we might be the bearers of your love and grace and mercy and peace and joy in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.